Lord, we thank you for this day once again. And thank you, Lord, just for the hugs, the smiles, the love, the presence of God that's in this place, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with like-minded believers. Oh, thank you so much, Lord. We ask now that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate daily, moment by moment, through a dark, fallen, dying, decaying world. We need your word more than ever, Lord. Speak to it, Lord. Let it jump off the pages right into our hearts that we can live it. We thank you. We bless you. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Esther chapter 8. Verse 8. As we continue our series on being spirit filled and spirit sealed, I want to remind the parents and our youngsters that next Sunday, 8 a.m., youngsters, is our purpose and purity class. Last year, we had the privilege of taking our youngsters through a purpose and purity class, our young ladies. And they all received, the ones that completed the class, I believe it was about 10 of them completed the class. Last New Year's, they received their promise rings, their commitment to keep themselves pure before God, to be married to God. The young lady said they would like to have monthly meetings just to remind them of who they are in God. Amen. So that will be next Sunday at 8 a.m. Myself and Brother Raymond, we teach that class. And then the young lady said they would also like for the young men to be invited. So parents, the young men are invited too. So bring the young men. As we teach our young ladies, we definitely need to teach our young men. Somebody say amen. Amen. Also men, for the men's one day conference is similar to a men's retreat next month, the 17th. Make a note of it. If you could make it, I'd love for you to be there. The cost is, or I should say the investment is $50. But just like anything else here, if you don't have it, you invest what you can and the church covers the rest. Amen. See, it's a difference. You have to understand that the world system is buying and selling, but God's system is giving and receiving. Amen. So this is not the world. We give and we receive. So if same thing with the couples retreat. For all the couples, you definitely want to be there. I attended my first men's conference 30 years ago, 1985, while I was in college. You know, that's the last place you want to go is to a men's conference while you're in college, because they're going to tell you how to live right. Amen. But I took the challenge and went. My life has never been the same. And I've tried to attend a men's conference every year since then. Same thing with the couples retreat. I know for a fact that my wife and I, when we first got married, we attended a couples conference, and we've attended a couples conference, couples seminar every year since we've been married for 28 years. Amen. And you say, why would you do that? Well, because what you invest in is what you get back. You have to invest in, and men, we have to invest as men into our lives. Couples, we have to invest in into each other for our lives. Amen. And that's the last thing the enemy wants a man to do, is to get around other strong men, or women to get around other strong, godly women. It's the last thing the enemy wants couples to come together and realize that we're not our enemy, but that's the enemy up there. That's the theme of the couples retreat. Spiritual warfare is couples fighting the real enemy. We're fighting each other. We're not the enemy. Speaking of that, I'm challenging us all to get into the Proverbs each day. How many of you have taken the challenge? Amen. As I was studying this week, on the 18th, I read a scripture. Was Proverbs 18:22. Amen. It says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Amen. All the ladies said amen. Okay, so here's what I want to say, and I'm going to get into the message, I promise, in just a minute. Here's the message before the message. I want the Proverbs, I want us daily getting into the Proverbs to replace the horoscope, the fortune cookies, and all that other garbage that's out there. I mean, put your life in perspective according to God's word. I wrote down a few of the Proverbs on the 14th. Proverbs 14:12, which says, "There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Wow. Bless you. Lets me know right away that I need to put my life in perspective. Bless you, according to God's word. On the 15th, it says a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir it up. Talks about how we conversate with each other. It also talked about the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool when he keeps silent is considered wise. All right, I'll be quiet more often. Amen. 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Speak life over your situation. Speak life over your kids. Speak life over your marriage. Speak life over your family. Just perspective. And then this morning as I was reading, it says the spirit of man is the Proverbs 20:27. Bless you. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. So our spirit is God's candle. So we can't hide anything from God because he sees right through us. Somebody say amen. Amen. My God, let me be transparent with God. Amen. Let us be real with God because he sees everything. I'm challenging you to allow God's word to guide your life. And not all these other fears and ungodly anxieties that try to manipulate us on a daily basis. Say, let's continue in the Proverbs until the beginning of the year. And let's see what God says after that. Amen. All right. So here we go. Esther 8 and 8. Did I say? Yeah. All right. Esther 8 and 8. Did I say that? Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's name may no man reverse. We talked about that after Esther fasted for 3 days and three nights, that there were certain things that took place. I think we're up to about six or seven. But also add to that that God will reverse some things in your life. God will reverse some things, and he will allow some things not to be reversed. I don't know if that's seven or eight. If you're keeping notes, you let me know later. Amen. So we talked about being sealed and being filled, and we started this thing in Ephesians. Quickly turn with me to Ephesians. When the king was talking to Mordecai, as a Jew, he understood what it meant with the king's seal and with the king's ring. Here is Paul in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Here's Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. He's talking to the Jews as well. And when he's talking about being sealed and being filled, it takes them back to the Old Testament where they understand what it means to be sealed. We talked last week, Jesus said, "You pray in my name because I'm the King of Kings." Ephesians 1 and 13, in whom you also trust. If you're there, say amen. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed, you were sealed. You should have sealed underline. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest, which we said we talked about, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Keep your finger in Ephesians and turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He's talking about God. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath sealed us and given the earnest, or the down payment of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts. So God has sealed us. He has filled us with his Holy Spirit. He's put the down payment. We talked last week, when you put a down payment on something, it means you're coming back for it. Amen. We talked about God's economy being giving and receiving, not this world's economy being buying and selling. This down payment with the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with your credit score. And somebody said amen. Thank God you don't have to get this down payment based upon your credit score. It comes from God's, so to speak, credit score, what he did for us over 2015 years ago. And by the way, as Christians, we should have good credit scores, because it talks about credibility. Amen. Ivy, did you cut my mic on this morning? You did? Okay. So as Christians, we should have good credit scores, because it talks about our credibility. Amen. Amen. And even being debt free is even better. Somebody say amen. The word talks about how the borrower is servant to the lender. We're reading Proverbs says, "Owe no man knoweth nothing." So we work towards that. That's our goal. God wants us to be responsible. God wants us to be credible as Christians. That's part of our light shining. All right. So let's get a little deep. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. So we're talking about being spirit filled and being spirit sealed. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when you surrender your life, then God can, that Holy Spirit can live through you. Verse 30, Ephesians 4 and 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, which means you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can hold it back from living inside of you. You can stress the Holy Spirit out because it's trying to live. It's trying to communicate with you on how to live, what to do, what not to do, and you choose to do what you want to do. That's why Paul says in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption, until God comes back for you. There's a way to live. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Look how, and then he gives us practical application. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Somebody need to highlight that this morning. That's how you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's a whole transformation. It's a whole revelation on how we communicate, how we get along with each other. From parents to kids to parents, from pastor to congregation, from congregation to pastor. From husband to wife, from wife to husband, from boyfriend to girlfriend, from friend to friend. How do you communicate? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Verse 5 and 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Make a note of this. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us. That's the agape love, the unconditional love. That's how we're to walk. That's how we're to live in love. He breaks it down even further and says, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Underline that. So when Christ died on the cross, he's offered up for us. Became a sweet smelling aroma. Our sin now becomes a sweet smelling aroma because of Christ's sacrifice, not because of what we've done, but because of what he done, because we couldn't have did what he did. we were studying this on Wednesday night, and it talked about the difference of what Christ did and what they had to do back in the Old Testament. Quickly turn with me. Keep your finger on Ephesians and turn with me to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Make a note, those of you that take notes, that God smells what you're offering up. God smells what your worship, your prayer, your time, your resources, your money, and of course your life. God smells what you and I are offering up. And if we're not offering it up through Christ, it probably doesn't smell that good. But God smells what you're offering up. How about your prayer life? How does that smell today? How about your giving? How does that smell today? And remember, it's never about the amount. Jesus was standing as they were giving, and the lady gave two mites, two half pennies or whatever. And he said, that smells really good. The men were given thousands of dollars. He said, that stinks. Because it was not about the amount. It's about the condition of the heart as you're offering up. God, you know this is my best. And I trust you with my best. It's never about the amount. God created everything. Giving is not for God, it's for us. Do you trust God? The word says where your treasures are, there your heart is also. Where's your heart at? If it's with stuff, you know that never ends, because I always need more stuff. Always. I remember when I first got married and Tracy go shopping, I'd be fighting it. Man, I don't want to go to another mall. I hate the mall. But now, after 28 years, I like the mall. I need to stay out of the mall, you know? Because it's always, you go in and it's a pair of shoes. It's like, I got, man, do you realize how many shoes you have at home? But those right there, boy, I tell you. Or the watch. Oh, man, but you have a watch. I know, but I don't have that color watch. It's never enough. If stuff is never enough, somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. It's just never enough. And if stuff has your, if treasures and stuff have your heart, then God is saying it's going to be hard for us to communicate, because you can't serve God. Jesus told me you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You'll love one and you'll hate the other. Never talks about not having stuff, but it talks about where your heart is with the stuff. Remember, God's kingdom, God's economy is giving and receiving, not buying and selling, not supply and demand, profit and loss. That's the world system. So we have to live our life. That's where our minds have to be transformed. So we're not chasing after stuff that doesn't mean anything. Remember, the best we can do is to have exclusive access to temporary stuff. That's the best we could do. Talked about it before. Somebody can go to the Ritz-Carlton and the Waldorf Astoria. The rest of us, we go on to Motel 6. That's all. So you went to the Ritz. Okay, you had exclusive access to temporary stuff. It's the best you can do until you connect with God and it becomes permanent. All right, so here we go. That's Exodus 29. Yes. All right, let me find my notes. Exodus 29:39. Remember, Christ was offered up once and for all. That's what it says in Ephesians. So here we are, 29. Let's start at 38. Exodus 29:38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer in the evening. All right, so you cover your sins in the morning when you wake up, and then you better offer that lamb in the evening so you cover them before you go to bed because of the stuff you did. It's just how it was. God's given them the guidelines so they could fellowship with him. Ephesians said Christ died once and for all, that sacrifice, a sweet-smelling aroma. Somebody say amen. Otherwise, we would have had to make that offering this morning before we got here, and we got to make it before we go to bed. Verse 39, the one lamb shall thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at the evening. Verse 40, and with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of the hen, beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hen of wine for a drink offering. Underline, that's another offering, a drink offering. We've already had the sin offering. That happened earlier in chapter 29. We had the sin offering. We had the burnt offering. We had the wave offering. We had the peace offering. God said, you got to offer all this stuff up before you come to me. Somebody say amen. We don't have to do that today. We had the conversation in Bible study. Do the Orthodox Jews, do they still practice this today? Because this is what they are commanded to do in order for their sins to be forgiven. Verse 41, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening shall do that thereunto according to the meat offering. Now you got the meat offering. Or the morning and according to the drink offering, thereof a sweet, there's that sweet savor, that is sweet aroma, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. That's the way they got the sweet aroma back then. Now Christ is our sweet aroma. Somebody say amen. Amen. Once and for all, we don't have to do this every day. But look at verse 42. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto you. Highlight that. Family, God wants to speak to us. He wants to meet us. God said, get rid of the sin so that I can come in. God is saying, you got to get rid of all this other stuff so I can meet with you. It's too much stuff, too much sin in your life. We never talk. And back then, they had to do all this so God could meet with them at the tabernacle. Now all we have to do is accept Christ and surrender all to him. And God wants to talk and meet with us. Look at verse 43. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Listen to the passion in the scriptures. God is saying, I want to meet with you. God is saying, I actually love you. I just want to be there, but all this other stuff is in the way. Too often we have the wrong idea about God, that he's out to get us. God says, no, get rid of that other stuff so you and I can talk. So we can hang out. That's what I created you for. So we can hang out, so we could walk. Look at this. All right, we got to keep our finger in Ephesians. We got to keep our finger in Exodus because we're coming back to Exodus. Go to Genesis 3 and 3. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's start at 3 and 8. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. When Satan first approached them, that was his whole MO was to get them to hide from God. That's what he wants you and I to do, to hide from God, to make us think that God is out to get us. God is saying, I want to spend time with you. He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Every day, Satan comes in. Now Adam is hiding from God. God is telling you, I just want to hang out with you. I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me. I love you. I've always been there for you. But because of sin, we will hide from God. We won't come to church. We won't pray. We won't read our scriptures. We won't do anything because we think God is out to get us. And God is saying, get rid of that other stuff so we can meet and I can talk and I can tell you how much I love you. And we have to fight daily to get rid of all this other stuff that wants to come in and have us hide from God. But look what else happens. And the Lord, verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Remember, not his physical location, but his spiritual situation. Man, what is going on with you? And you know God is saying that to the men today. Brother, what are you doing? Why are you hiding from me? I created you. And he's hiding in the trees. God created the trees. You're hiding behind the stuff that I created. I gave you the job, and now you're hiding behind the job. I gave you the family. Now you're hiding behind the family. I gave you the ministry. Now you're hiding behind that, using that as an excuse not to spend time with me. Stop hiding behind the stuff that I gave you. That is deep. Hiding behind the stuff that God gave him. But look what he says. He said, first, man, make a note. Where are you? That's between you and God. And in verse 10, he said, and Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Now, OK, now he's hiding. He's never hid from God. He's never been afraid from God. But because of this sin, now he's hiding. God said, I just want to hang out with you like we've always done, like I created you for. But that's what sin does. It makes us hide. It makes us afraid. He says, because I was naked and I hid myself. Verse 11, he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you that you should eat of? And the man said, of course, you know how we do it. The woman you gave me to be with, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. All right. So look what happens when sin. So check yourself with the sin. Are you hiding from God? First off, they covered themselves. They made coverings. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So they covered their sin instead of confessing. So here you are covering, trying to cover it up instead of confessing, saying, God, I messed up. I blew it. I'm really tripping. All right. So check yourself. Make a checklist. Am I covering or am I confessing? Am I hiding? Or am I healing? Am I afraid? Or am I after God? We're somewhere today. We're in between some of those somewhere today. But that's not the way God set it up. And then the last one, we want to blame somebody else for where we are. It's my wife's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's the pastor's fault. It's y'all's fault. It's my boss's fault. If you're the boss, it's your employee's fault. That's what sin does. It has us attacking each other and hiding from God as opposed to recognizing we're in spiritual warfare. Amen. That's not the way God set it up. He would walk with Adam daily. But so just make sure that you understand if you are hiding and you're covering up, just know why. It's the enemy lying to you that God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Now, let's see. Let's go back to Exodus 29. And look at 42 again. There shall be a continual burnt offering. Thank God that Christ was offered once and for all. He's our continual offering. That's what it just told us in Ephesians. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto you. Does God still speak today? Of course he does, but not when we got all this other stuff in the way. That's why I challenged us 2 years ago to pray and fast every morning. You have to put that time aside with God. Otherwise, it's too many other things. And this generation has to fight, especially our youth. You guys got to fight more than ever because you wake up and your Facebook is going off and your Snapchat and your Instagram is going off. And as soon as you jump up, they call it the Internet Addiction Syndrome. IAS, they created a word for it. Because soon as I got to get my phone because I'm going to miss something. Whoa. And there's the world feeding your mind and feeding your spirit. Now, I can't tell you how much foolishness is on the Internet. Oh, no, Snapchat and all this other kind of stuff that's going on. It is just ridiculous. It'll have you laughing all day. It will. It'll have you all just so your whole life is just one big entertainment. Tantalize. I got to be tantalized. What's next? Oh, ho, ho. Ha, ha. Oh, and you spend your whole day just being silly. And you wonder why I can't hear God. Because you're being silly all day. God can't speak. It's just too much stuff. I'm telling you, our generation, they have to fight, boy. And as parents, we got to fight because we got to monitor that. Oh, my gosh. Just the 10 years with the girls, Jay didn't, big Jay, she didn't, older Jay didn't have that. And so we, but now little Jay, she got, oh, my God. If she doesn't have a phone, then all her friends at school got a phone. Look at this. Look, look. Oh, ah, barely. What are those? And all this other kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Just tantalize all day. And you're trying to figure out, God, why I can't hear from you. And we're not going to hear from it. Just too much. It's just set up today that it's just too much stuff out there. And for our youth that come here, that's why we have our purpose and purity class. That's why we go on our family retreat, where we just get away and we speak life into them without all that stuff. And that's why it's about giving and receiving and not buying and selling. We want you all to come. We want everybody to be a part of it because we understand the spiritual warfare that we're in. And the world's not, it's not going to get any better. I'm telling you, it's not going to let up. It's like a snowball that's going downhill. It can't be stopped now. It can't be, except a miracle from God. But the scriptures say in the last days, evil spirits and seducing spirits are going to be deceiving and being deceived. They're going to wax worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. All right, let me finish this up. Then we'll pick up the rest next week. Verse 43. Listen to the passion in the scriptures. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Verse 44. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify, which means he's setting it apart. He's making it holy. Also, both Aaron and his sons to minister to who? Minister to me in the priest office. See, sometimes we get it mixed up. We think we got to come minister to people, but God said, you minister to me first. There's underline that. He says he's sanctifying all this so you can come minister to him. But family, we should have been sanctified and set stuff apart when we first woke up, and we ministered to God before we got here. And you want the pastor to minister to you, which I will do. But if I haven't ministered to God, you don't want what I have. You want what God has. But you can minister. You should minister to God yourself first. And then when you come, your spirit bears witness with what the word is saying, because you've already ministered to God as well. You should have ministered to God before you got here. And then look what he says in verse 45. God says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. God is saying, you get rid of all that sin, the burnt offering. Let me go. The sin offering, the burnt offering, the wave offering, the peace offering, the meat offering, the drink offering. He says, and I will, verse 4, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and I will be their God. Get rid of all the sin so I can come in. I've been waiting to just hang out with you, but you got too much stuff in the way. Been waiting to come into your heart and your life and your marriage and your kids and your house, but you got too much stuff in the way. Get out the way so I can come in. I want to be there. God is saying, I want to be there with you. Amen. And verse 46, and they shall know. You get rid of all that stuff, then you will know. You know why you don't believe in God or you don't really trust him? Because you got too much stuff and you don't really know. God says, but when you get rid of all that stuff and you totally surrender, you're going to know. Look at 46. You will know that I am the Lord, your God, that brought you forth out of the land and wherever God brought us all from. For them, it was Egypt. You know, for us, some is the South Central, all over God brought us out of. Compton, Watts, Long Beach, all over. You will know when you get close to God, you say, man, God was there when I didn't even realize it. I know God has always been there. He said, get rid of all the stuff. Then you will understand. Then you will know that I brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God. That's what God wants you to know. That's what God wants. I'm your God. I've been waiting to hang out with you. Get rid of the stuff so you can know. You're questioning right now, but when you get rid of stuff, you'll know. That's what we got to pick up next week. Let us just quickly close out in prayer. And God is speaking to us all this morning. Get rid of the clutter. Clear out that room, that all that stuff, all that secret stuff is in there. God, I just want to know. I want you to know that I've been there for you. But you can't hide behind that stuff. You got to let all that go. You're questioning me, but God is saying, I've been waiting on you. I'm trying to give you the formula so we can hang out, get rid of the sin so I can come in. Then you'll know. You'll see that I've always been there. Better yet, you'll see where I'm trying to take you. We thank you, Lord, that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that you have prepared for those that love you. God, we can't even imagine what you have for us. But we have to be obedient and live this thing. Christ died for our sins once and for all. Yes, he did. And we can't work our way to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying do the right thing and do. No, it's not about works. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works. So nobody can boast about it. But because we are saved, we can live. We're talking about living victoriously in our singleness. In our marriages, with our kids, with our family, within our church, living victorious. Let our light shine, being salt of the earth, making disciples, building the kingdom of God, because we are saved, living like it through the power of the Holy Spirit that has filled us and sealed us. It's a guaranteed thing. So, Lord, I just pray. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never even been saved. Saved just means being rescued by God through Jesus Christ. Pastor, I need to be rescued. I'm not even sure if I'm saved. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. You don't have to leave with a question. The scriptures say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So maybe you're here and saying, Pastor, I need to get saved this morning. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I got to rededicate. I got to get rid of this stuff. I got to get back close to God. I'm not going to finish this year the way I started. If you want to rededicate your life this morning to Christ, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. I'm looking for a place where people actually love God. And it's just the word of God. It's the love of God. It's the fellowship of God within his people. No games, no tricks, no gimmicks, no drama. We just love God. I'm looking for a place. And you might want to join with South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family here. Thank you, Lord. How we love you, Lord. How we bless you. I want to cover my niece, Katie. Come on up, Katie. So we're praying for rededication. Ask some of the ladies to come and surround her as we all pray with her and for her. Those of you that are seated, just extend your hand this way. Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying world, We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to get saved again, but we do have to, sometimes we have to recommit and get back into fellowship with you daily and commit to studying and reading and praying and walking like we know we've been called to walk in you. Your word says if we're faithful and just, we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we thank you, Lord. You removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Said you remember them no more. So, Lord, we're just trying to get it right. We want to do better because we know better. Don't want to forfeit anything that you have for us because of unconfessed, covered up, or pretending didn't happen sin. So we confess and we forsake. So you would tell many in the word, go and sin no more. Sins are forgiven. Don't trip on that, but don't do it again. Keep it together. Fight to live right. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you live right. So we're praying for rededication to sweep throughout this house, this congregation, Lord, as we finish this year. We're not going to finish it raggedy, Lord. We're going to finish it strong, making a difference, being light, being salt in the midst of a dark world. Yes. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Yes. There's none like you, nothing too hard for you. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yes. All things are possible to them that believe. Yes. Bless you for Katie. Cover her. Give her the wisdom of your word daily. Through the power of your Holy Spirit to live this thing. Yes. Lead, guide, and direct her. As the strong woman of God that she is. Oh, we love you, Lord, and we bless you. Yes. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Stand to your feet. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Give somebody a hug in Jesus' name. You are dismissed. Amen.